and asked him to bless here today. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, God, we thank you for the opportunity to come before you and to praise you and to magnify and glorify your name, the only name under heaven's skies wherein a man can be saved. We come to you this day, and Lord, we invite you into our presence, God, that you might anoint your word to be spoken. We, as we declare this word, God, we might see great things accomplished, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, that the work might be done, God, that you have appointed to do. God, give us grace and mercy is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In Paul's writing to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 2, I like these words. And you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now, this declares and gives us an understanding of where we all was without Christ. We were dead in our trespasses and our sins. You know, when we live in sin, the Bible says that we're dead while we live. And that's pretty plain, but we're dead to the things of God. Verse 2 says, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the powers of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all have our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now this word quicken, if you look it up in the Webster Dictionary, the word means to make alive. And it means to be aroused from where we are at in our state of mind, and to be quickened, to be renewed. And the Bible said we would all have went back unless God had quickened us. I believe in the quickening power of the Holy Ghost. I've seen times in my life that if God hadn't quickened by his spirit, it was the end. There was no answer. There was no way. Went as far as we could go, done everything we could do, and then the mighty Holy Ghost of God come with a quickening. Amen. And he lifted us from where we was at. Just as he quickened us that was dead in our sins and trespasses, God quickened us by his spirit and made us alive, and now we're alive in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we, amen, according to the word of God, it said that we walked after lust and fulfilled the desires of the flesh of the mind, and were made by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We, by our transgression, would have fell into the condemnation of hell. But because God had quickened us by his spirit and lifted us out of our sins and our transgressions, we're now made alive. Verse 4 said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. It's good to know that while we were still in our sins, even when we were dead in our sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. While we were yet in our sins, the Bible tells me that Christ loved us, that God loved us. While we was in the midst of our lust of the flesh and our prides of life and all the different categories of sin that gripped our life and controlled us, and we followed after our own ambition, our own desires, in that estate, God came and quickened us, and by his grace, he saved us. He paid the price for sin that you and I cannot pay. He became the price paid, the perpetuation for sin, and he paid the price that you and I could not pay. Only the blood of Calvary's Lamb could pay that price. Amen. and now we are saved. Now we have been quickened. Amen. Verse 6 says, and has raised us up together to be made to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show that exceedingly riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, here is where the axe splits the log, is the old saying. We're saved by grace. We couldn't do a thing in our own righteousness to save ourselves. The Bible said all of our righteousness was filthy rags in the sight of God. You can't get good enough to get saved. You can't practice enough righteousness to get saved. You can't take enough off or put enough on to get saved. But once you are saved, once you come in to Christ Jesus, there's a change takes place. The old man has to go. And the Bible says God has ordained that we should walk in them. I'm going to say it like this. If you're still cussing, you're still smoking, you're still drinking, you're still dipping, you're still partaking of the bottle, you're still partaking of drugs and alcohol, there's a good possibility you don't know the Savior that I'm talking about this morning. There'll be a time and a space to get it right, but you'll clean your act up or you don't have him. Because his nature is holy. He is a righteous God. And you cannot mock him. And when you continue on in your sins and you profess Christ, then you are mocking Christ. Amen. And he goes on to say, amen, that he will not be mocked. Amen. The Bible says in Romans in the 5th chapter, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. This is chapter 8, verse 5. Chapter 8, verse 5 of Romans. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not of the flesh, but of the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. For if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. For if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Amen. Here we understand, and we know that God has quickened us by his Spirit. We're a changed vessel. We're a changed people. And if there's not a change that have took place, then redemption has not worked. The Bible gives us all the understanding of the seeds and the sower, and how some went on rocky ground, some went on good soil. You know, and if the water is right and the soil is right, then it grows forth into that which that is intended to be, and there's a harvest. But if it's thrown on rocky ground, soil that will not produce life, that's the reason it's so important to be in a good church where the gospel is taught and preached. We have so many people today that claim the name of Christ, but they still live in their sins. And not been a change. They've not been a difference. And they still the same old person inside. Their mindset is still the same. And I'm convinced you cannot be a partaker of the things of this world and have the love of Christ within you. There has to be a separation. There has to be a place that you say, that's enough. I watch so many Christians or people that claim to be Christians feed their spirit. And they feed their spirit with rock and roll music or country music. And their whole digest of everything they take in all week long is worldly, ungospel music. Amen. Ungodly music that has nothing to do with the gospel, but it's just about the world and the lust of the world and the lust of the flesh and the prides of life. And this is their spiritual digestion, and they wonder why they can't grow in God. You're going to have to learn something about amazing grace. You're going to have to learn something about the Word of God. You're going to have to find out what Jesus said. But I am appalled at the people that profess Jesus and still live in their sins. It's a sign of the last days. Bible said in the 24th chapter of Matthew, the disciples asked him, said, show us a sign. What's the sign of the end of the world? What's the sign of thou coming? He said, many shall come in my name, saying that I am the Christ, but shall deceive many. Is there not anybody that wants to serve God? Is there not anybody that wants to live for God? Is there not anybody that wants to live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right? That's the question that needs to be asked. If you're going to be a Christian, let the change take place. Lay down the old carnal man. Pack the bags and boot the devil out and invite Jesus in and go to praise and glorify and magnify his name. Thank you, Jesus, by the glory and the presence of God in our life. That people can look and see there's a change. I want to make a big sign. I'm going to get around to it here. But I'm going to make a big sign. I'm going to put it several places in this building. And I'm going to spell out the things carnally that people are doing. And I'm going to say, if you're still doing these things, you need to go back to the book and realize you're probably not saved. If you can still tell a lie and lie and lie and lie, you're probably not saved. If you still can poke a needle in your arm, you're not saved. If you can still drink and booze it up, if you can still go get you a six-pack and drink anytime you want, amen, you're not saved. You may have a religion, and this is hard. This is real hard. But you can't go on in the fleshly lust and desires of the flesh. You can't keep on pleasing your habits. Amen. My wife sometimes disagrees with me on this, but I tell her I believe in a two-step program. She said she used to smoke. I never was addicted to it. I've never let anything addict me. I've never let anything control me that I can't do what I feel that God wants me to do. I've seen people that didn't get a cigarette and just shake. They're addicted to it. The addiction, even if the cigarette wasn't sin, amen, the addiction to it is wrong. Amen. Anything that controls your physical mind and spirit other than God and His Spirit is wrong. It's a sin, and it'll lead you into hell. Amen. That's plain. That's hard. But that's a fact. Little foxes is what spoil the vine. Little foxes is what spoil the vine. Amen. And little creeping sins and little things a little water snuff in the jaw. Well, that ain't no problem, preacher. That ain't hurting nobody. Filth of the flesh, you know. Filth of the flesh. Addicted habit, you know. That's the reason down through my life, I give up everything that I craved. I craved chocolate. I give it up in 1982. I crave pop. I would drink Mr. Pibb's or Dr. Pepper's, 8-10 of them a day. I give them up because I didn't want to be controlled by anything. Amen. Now, to be thirsty is a normal thing. And water quenches thirst. I give up everything in my life. I went the second mile, the third mile. Somebody said, you live in bondage. No, I'm free. I've been set free with the power of God. Amen. I know that I know that I know my name's written in the book of life. And I know that God speaks. But if you have a life that's bound by all these things, if it's bound by the filth of the flesh, it's bound by everything carnally, amen, you will never hear the voice of God. God can be all around you, amen, and you'll never feel his presence because you're bound by the carnal things, and God said your mind can't even be subject to me. Amen. You can't hear me. You can't walk with me. You can't have fellowship with me because you're carnal and you're against enmity against me and everything that I stand for. And that's where most of the church world's at today. Amen. Amen. That's where that they're bound and they're controlled. And they wonder why God ain't moving in their life. A lot of people say, well, God don't move in the churches like he used to. It's because that little thing called sin, that justification of the own pleasures that men and women lust after pleasures and desires, and they allow them desires and pleasures and habits to control their life, and God, amen, just leaves them alone. Amen. I'm sorry, but he just leaves them alone. And he spelled it out in his book. He said it from beginning and end. And he explained to us that, amen, that God is not mocked. Amen. He went on to say, what you sow in the flesh, you shall reap in the flesh. I can't get you around that. If you sow to these things, and your life is all controlled by the things you want to do and by worldly and lustful desires, and if everything that you go to do is based around the pleasures of the flesh, then you're not going to have an experience with God. The trumpet going to sound someday and you're going to be left behind. Most of the people on planet Earth will take the mark of the beast. That's a fact. They will take the mark of the beast. You know why? Go to Walmart at midnight when they turn the food stamps loose. Go to any of the grocery stores. Man told me the other day he gets $600-some worth of food stamps, and he said, my wife will go spend them at exactly midnight. She will dump, unless I get a hold of the card or get some, she will dump all $600 in just a few minutes. Possessed. And you tell somebody like that, if you don't take the mark here in your hand, and you think they're going to have some willpower to resist it, know what they will do before long. They will implant. It won't be a card. Before long, they're going to implant that. And I'm not against food stamps. Don't take me wrong. But I'm against the ungodly system. And they're more of the world right now on food stamps than they are off food stamps because of the economy. And the devil is setting the stage. And before long, they're going to come around and say, you're going to have a chip planted in your hand. And by that chip, you will be able to see the card is the forerunner of the chip. And before long, you will have to have that planted in your hand, or you can't use your food stamps, or you can't buy groceries. And you take a man that has to have a wad of chew in the side of his mouth, or a woman has to have a wad of chew in her mouth, do you think they're going to be able to resist the mark? Somebody that's smoking two cartons of cigarettes a week, do you think they're going to be able to resist? That's the reason I say the two-step program works. Don't buy it, don't put it in your mouth. If it's ungodly, if it's a mockery, if it's abomination, don't buy it, don't put it in your mouth. And you'll never be, you're rid of it right then. You know, you're rid of the problem right then. If you can't do what's in two steps, then you know surely the day this preacher's telling you the truth. If you can't lay that thing down that's an abomination and a mockery to God, if you can't lay it down and in two steps walk away from it, you're bound by it. And it'll send you to hell as sure as I'm standing here. Amen. And there's a lot of things that ain't nothing wrong with in the natural that's going to send people to hell because they're addicted to it. Amen. God does not want us to be controlled by anything other than His Spirit. So that when we give ourselves to Him and yield ourselves to Him, and our spirit is yielded to God, then God can work in our life. God can control our lives. Amen. And when we allow ourselves to be given over to the Spirit, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Amen. That's as plain as you say. Somebody said, how can I be a son of God? Get saved and be fed, led by the Spirit. Follow after the Spirit. If that thing that is abomination and wrong in the sight of God, amen, if you are controlled by it to the point that it takes a precedence in your life and it rules out the mind or the will of the Spirit, then it's wrong. Get rid of it. Taste not, touch not that unclean thing, according to the Word of God. And we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. This life, amen, that we now live is no longer ours. But it's been bought by price and has been paid for by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We are now a new creation in Christ Jesus, amen. And God tells us, amen, on over in the 38th verse of that same 8th chapter of Romans, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We can have that kind of relationship. We can have that peace of mind. We can have, amen, that victory in the Lord. But we got to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us and run the race that is before us. Somebody has got to tell the truth. We've watched churches sugarcoat it. We've watched churches take on doctrines that says, come join our church. And if you join our church and you become saved and a member of our church, you don't never have to repent of your sins again. That's a lie. The devil, and the devil is the author of it. Amen. And any preacher that tells you that, you need to point a finger in his face and say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. And you need to run from him. Amen. Because he's no good. He's rotten to the core. He's preaching for filthy lucre's sake. He's preaching for number. Amen. And you say, well, Brother Goad, your message ain't very popular. Neither was Noah's. Amen. Neither was Noah. But Noah was right. And the flood did come. And I'm going to tell you, destruction is coming. And all those walk disorderly before the Lord. All those are bound by ungodliness. All those that are possessed by the filth of the flesh. They will spend their part, amen, in a place called hell. And the rapture will take place and they'll be left behind. And if they take the mark of the beast, they're doomed. And if they're bound to that habit and that filth and all the things that possess their soul and their life, if they can't give it up while the Spirit of God's here, they won't be able to give it up. People say, well, I'll realize that I've been left behind and I'll pray and God will save me. The Bible said he'll send them strong delusions that they'll believe a lie and be damned. You know, I've watched a lot of things. There's a payday for sin. God said it'd been better you never knew and to knew and turn back. And I watch the wrath of God fall on people that know the way and live in sin and go out and commit sin against God. I watch the wrath of God fall on them. It's hard. I see other people that never knew God and it looks like they're getting by with things worse. But I want you to know, they want nobody to get by. God's going to call everything in the judgment, and we're going to give account. Why don't we purge ourselves? Why don't we let the Spirit of God purge ourselves? Let's be quickened today. Let's let the quickening power of God quicken us and make us alive in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for the truth. God, we ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, God, we ask you, Lord, that you would come visit us with a visitation at this altar service. God, that men and women that hear this message, wherever, in whatever part of the world, whatever part of the country, wherever they're at, they hear this message, they'll fall upon their knees, they'll look to you and say, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Quicken in me, make me alive. And God, grant it, Lord, grant healing, grant financial miracles to those that are in bondage by the recession and the things that's going on. And God, I ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, work is my prayer. Heal, deliver, set free in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God love you. We appreciate you. Until we come to you again, may God keep and bless you. Amen and amen.